This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Deshaun Watson era is interesting to me. I put out a video, Locker Room on YouTube, talking about it. And I know this might sound crazy to a lot of people, I look back at it fondly, man. Like, and I know it didn't end the way that we wanted it to, but I got so much joy in watching that guy play and the way in which he was selected, how easy he was to root for, how you felt like every Sunday that you had a chance to win. And quite honestly, I think that he made the right decision in asking for a trade. And I think the Texans have basically confirmed that. They fired Bill O'Brien. They fired Jack Easterby. They continue to be in this rebuild. And all the legal stuff aside, Deshaun Watson wanted a trade before. And I'm able to look back, despite the fact that there were some things that annoyed me about Deshaun Watson, specifically after he signed the contract. But from like a football perspective of the joy he brought me in watching that guy compete for as many years as he did, and the fact that I think he justifiably wanted to force his way out, I look back at the Deshaun Watson era and I'm able to do so fondly. Maybe there's just been enough time that's passed.
I think it's almost like two different compartments. Compartment number one is what happened to him as a player here. I don't blame him the least bit. I don't blame him at all. I'm right there with you. It hurt. You know, I was mad.
Sucked.
And it hurt, but I'm like, I can't blame this guy. This was before, you know, we knew what was going on otherwise.
Yeah, because he wanted the trade before.
Yeah.
Like the Texans didn't find out about the legal stuff and then trade
people
him.
Correlate those two things, and that's absolutely false. I was like, and we talked about it, but I was like, I'm shrugging. I was like, I can't blame him, man. I mean, this is a bleep show here. And Bill O'Brien is bad for him and everything else going on. And, the Hopkins, we know the story, you know. Then there's the other compartment where I'm like, get this guy out of here. You know, it's like two different chapters. It's like a before and an after, you know, and the after for me, I could not have been more offended, insulted as a Houstonian and as a fan, you know, I guess also just irritated by him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like part one was like, I can't blame this guy. Nothing but good memories.
Mm-hmm.
Part two was, get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a weird story with Deshaun Watson.
And I think there's a lot of middle ground with it. And I know there's a lot of emotions and we've read a lot of the emotions.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who feel a certain type of way, but I mean, to me, he symbolized, when they made the move for him, I mean, he just symbolized hope at the most important position.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of the best jobs of adjusting to a screw up that I've ever seen a GM do, because when Bob McNair went to Rick Smith and he said, get me a damn quarterback, I want the top quarterback on the market, and they went with Brock Osweiler, and the Brock Osweiler thing ended up being a disaster. They gave up the second round pick, which is now, by the way, Nick Chubb. They used the second round pick to get
Nick
Chubb.
You'll see him soon.
they traded the second round pick so the Browns would take on Brock Osweiler when they were going on with their rebuild. And then a couple months later, they traded up and they got Deshaun Watson, and Rick Smith was able to adjust through hoops. I do wonder, though, As we talk about the Deshaun Watson thing, and 713-572-4610, do you look back at it fondly, or am I just kind of being a little bit too positive about that?
Mm-hmm.
I did think that the one thing that the Browns did during their rebuild was they did a good job of kind of like adjusting to certain things. And they cut ties with Sashi Brown after 2 years as general manager. And I thought the Texans did a good job of cutting ties with Brock Osweiler once they realized that wasn't going to work. And I do wonder, like, as we take a look at Nick Caserio, and we both acknowledge that Lovie Smith was the right guy for the job this year but not past this year, like, do you think that they need to proactively evaluate, like Rick Smith did with Brock Osweiler, like the Browns did with Sashi Brown, and just ask the question, is Nick Caserio the right guy moving forward? Because those types of adjustments are very, very important. And if you don't make them and you wait too long, who knows what would have happened had the Texans said, all right, we're going to try one more year with Brock Osweiler. We know he sucks and we know that he's not very good, but we're going to try one more year. Or what if the Browns had said, you know what, Sashi Brown, we're going to give you one more year. Like, at some point, because John Dorsey was the guy who drafted like the core of the roster, and they punted on him even after that, and went with Andrew Berry. Like, at some point, you have to proactively pivot if you want to get to a point where you can give a guy like Deshaun Watson, with everything going on, $250 million. Because if you wait just a year too long, you're screwed and your whole rebuild's going to be thrown off.
I think it's too early to act, but it's not too early. In fact,
I just want to evaluate.
It's the perfect time to watch. I've talked about this. We've talked about it here. I've written about it. There's no more, well, it must be someone else's fault. Nick is trying to clean up someone else's mess. He's not trying to clean up anyone else's mess anymore. That's all done. He's working on and has done some work with the cap. He's moved on from Bill O'Brien's mess, the trades that O'Brien did. He's got some draft players that are coming in, moved on from Jack Easterby. There's no more other people's messes to clean up. So let's watch and let's see if he's creating a mess.
Question I have is, what do you think, like, if Deshaun Watson had that thought about the culture and all that type of stuff, like, what do you think if you talk to Deshaun Watson off the record, what do you think he would say about, like, say, Nick Caserio or the rest of the organization? Because I actually think there's a decent amount of respect for Caserio, mm-hmm. but there's also that low-hanging fruit there where, regardless of if Easterby's gone, regardless of what's going on, it is kind of easy to take shots.
I couldn't disagree more. Because I think when – keep in mind, Deshaun Watson had to sit out an entire year because of Nick Caserio.
Well, he had to sit out – now, this is where I will say, he had to sit out an entire year because he likes to get his butt rubbed in massage parlors.
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is they were butting heads. They had some nice discussions.
I don't think they were.
You've heard some of the same things I have. He wanted a new contract when they were talking about the Miami trade.
Yeah, I know.
And you don't think Nick Caserio and him were butting heads and his agent and everything else? Some people may not remember that. When the Miami trade came up, I believe it was June, because I wrote about it for SportsRadio610.com, it was almost a done deal. You know what made that trade fall apart? We can talk about it now. He wanted to redo his contract before the trade, and the Texans wouldn't do that. And ultimately, he got the new contract with the Browns. But what I'm saying is, he's got some ill will toward Nick Caserio. And I think it goes the other way, too.
But the reason that Caserio couldn't trade him was because of the sexual allegations, though. Like, that made the trade very difficult.
But they had a deal almost in place.
There was also the owner wanting him to have the cases
settled
and stuff like that.
Yeah, those were the two big points.
So you think he has beef with Nick Caserio?
Yes, I do.
I don't. I think there's a healthy amount of respect with the way it was going.
Whatever you want to call it, resentment, hatred, butting heads.
The best hope for Deshaun Watson is that I'm hoping that he at least figures out, like, because some of the stuff, the way that he handled stuff and some of the enablers around him and stuff, like, I don't think he's handled himself good PR-wise. If he's not smart enough to at least say, well, part of the reason that I didn't get traded for 2 years was because of whatever happened off the field, regardless of why or what, how, all that stuff. If he can't do that, then I don't think he stands a chance in hell with moving forward with what's going on in his life.
But don't you think that we would be in an altogether different situation had that deal gotten made last June? You know, like had those cases been settled, had the trade, the new contract been done, think about where we'd be today. So I think that's what Deshaun
where
was,
would we be?
I don't know. I'm asking, too. But like, how much would he have been? When would he have been able to play? When would he have been suspended if the deal was done last summer? Like, this, not this past summer, summer before.
Well, I mean,
last.
If the legal stuff had never come up, he might be the Jets quarterback because there was no remember when the Jets had the number two pick and there was San Francisco and all that? Like, he might be the Jets quarterback, but you had to kind of eliminate teams and possibilities because of the obvious.
Yeah.
And you know who's glad that that trade didn't happen? Miami.
Yeah, you think? I mean, they couldn't have. Everyone who was involved in that deal, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking, has to be happy it didn't happen. Like, there were rumors, like, who was rumored? The Jets, they got to be happy, right?
That they didn't get Watson?
Yeah.
Nah.
You don't think so?
I mean, have you seen Zach Wilson play?
Well, I understand that, but with everything that Watson has ultimately transpired with him?
I mean, it's gone. I mean, they probably could have
won. They wouldn't have had them first-round picks, though.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't, but one of them was used on Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And then, but the other one was used on Garrett Wilson. So, yeah, and Sauce. So, yeah, they did. Maybe you're right, Fig. I don't know. Yeah. Do you think they would trade?
Maybe Carolina's the only one.
Carolina's probably glad they're done with Matt Rhule, too. I don't know, man. It was just a really wild ride. I remember that I can look back with some appreciation of the Deshaun Watson.
So if he got traded last June and this was still ongoing, there were still more reports that were going to come out, how do you think that would have played out? Because he would have been a Dolphin.
I mean, I don't know if they hire Mike McDaniel. They probably keep Brian Flores. Who knows? Maybe Deshaun Watson hates himself like Tua did when he played for Brian Flores. I mean.
And that Mike McDaniel video was impressive. Did you see it?
How he put 700 things together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, would Brian Flores have broken Deshaun Watson? 713-572-462.
Would Lovey be coach? Would Brian Flores have been fired?
Yeah, I think Brian Flores might have stayed in Miami because they probably would have.
Josh McCown would have been here.
I don't know who would have been here. Like because the Flores lawsuit would have never happened.
Right.
So then maybe we'd be on the McCown train. Right now. So we'd be in first place.
We'd be in first place.
We'd be in first place in the division right now. Davis Mills would be in the MVP talk.
Oh God.
That's where we'd be right now. But oh well, it didn't happen. So here we are now. Goodness gracious.
Oh, that's where we are.
There we are.
Man, I went down that rabbit hole with what was happening 700. It'll be 700 days on Sunday since Deshaun Watson last played a game. 700 days later, he's playing the Houston
Texans. How is that not a factor? McClain said that this was like a practice for Deshaun Watson. Dude, the guy hadn't played football in 700 days. He hasn't ever run this system. Now, maybe they just have to hand it off, and that's fine, but to act like there's not going to be any rust after 700 days of playing football, to me, is a little bit crazy.
I think I would say this is the Texans' best chance to win another game, except that the Browns' running game, all he has to really do is just turn around. That Browns' running game is just going to destroy the Texans. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, there's going to be times where he's going to have to throw.
And Deshaun could run. You know? I mean, Deshaun, they could run those RPOs or whatever, zone reads, and just have Deshaun, you know, just torch the Texans.
This is going to be the first time, like, because a lot of times when Deshaun was here and they had O'Brien, you'd always hear, well, what if Kubiak had him? What if we ran Kubiak's offense? We're going to get to see him run Kubiak's offense.
There we are.
This Sunday.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to get you in the front row coming up within the next 30 minutes on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Also, going to get you to Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk. We've already gotten two winners. We'll get a couple more there as well. Texans versus Browns. On Sunday, and Tony Busby, big news of the day. Tony Busby's going to be in a suite with 10 of the accusers at the game watching Deshaun Watson, and John Lopez has nominated Tony Busby for the slime.
Yeah, and you keep saying me because y'all don't want any part of this.
Busby smoke.
That's all right, man. What's he going to sue me for? A strong opinion?
What's your opinion? Can you?
He's a slime ball. That's my opinion. And I've always liked.
We've always known that, though.
I've always liked Tony Busby.
We've always known Buzz.
But to a degree, I've actually defended some of the things he's done.
No, I mean, not to a degree. You have.
I have. But this is just exploiting these women, man. I mean, they're doing. I mean, they said yes. So I know they have a voice in this. But this is just total exploitation to put them out there publicly and get a suite. And what are they going to be dressed alike? Is this going to be like a bachelorette party or something?
Is my goat going to be on the scene?
Who?
You think Berman's going to get the interview?
Oh, 100%.
Berman might be invited in the suite. Huh?
He may well be.
They go, how you like that Fox 26 commercial with Berman? I love it.
Yeah.
You see it?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking
about.
They
put the tweet up of he's the goat, and then it's like, we agree.
You know what's weird about that? And this is not to cast aspersions on Mark.
Oh,
Berman.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
He's got Figgy.
No.
Dump this.
No.
If he's going to disrespect Berman. Dump this.
He's awesome. He knows I love
here
him.
Here comes a butt.
He's the best at what he does.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Fox 26 is still last.
What do you mean?
In ratings.
He hasn't
helped them.
What is going on right now with you?
If it's about
Figgy,
it's still about ratings.
Figgy, what are we doing here?
If it's about ratings, I'm double checking as I'm talking because maybe they've moved up.
Is Figgy. He supposed to carry Fox 26?
I mean, what's he supposed to do? Blame it on the damn anchors.
They haven't, maybe we should because I know he's doing his part, but they have not. What are their call letters?
Oh my gosh, Figgy.
KRIV?
Figgy.
I'm looking at it right now. Are you looking at it, Aaron?
Figgy, how are you letting this happen on your watch, man?
I'm telling you.
This is supposed to be your ship, sir.
KRIV ratings.
How are you letting this happen?
I think y'all had too many beers over there, man.
We haven't had
anything.
Lopez has been going in the restroom, and there's a little white powder on the damn bathroom. Which, by the way, there's not white powder. You splashed like a mofo in that toilet. You can't blame anyone else. You're the only one that's used
that
it.
That is not true.
Because I was embarrassed. I went to the restroom after Lopez, and there's piss all over the floor. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to be the one that gets blamed for this. And it's Lopez splashing around over
that
there.
That is absolutely
nice
not
bathroom.
True.
100% true on God.
That is not true.
100% true on God.
Although
Figgy.
I was on the phone the last time I went in.
Yeah, I noticed.
I was on the phone, so maybe I missed.
I noticed there.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of a slack on that.
What do Lopez and Scott Norwood have in common? They're both wide right.
I was on the phone. I was making a high-dollar deal.
Yeah.
With not my dollars.
Yeah, I saw you. I definitely saw
yeah,
you.
Yeah, KRIV, man, the ratings are not what they should
boy,
be.
Boy, you are going to hell on
for a guy who's the GOAT?
You are going to hell.
It's true.
Why are you blaming Berman for that, man?
For all he's done, their ratings are still not there.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
John Lopez, the jerk. The GOAT killer. Berman's always my GOAT, though.
He is.
We got you tickets to Whiskey Talk coming up at the end of the hour. But coming up next, we're going to get you in the front row for Texans versus Browns on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. We're also going to have some lunchtime confessions. You might just need to sit this one out with the way you've been acting, Lopez. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, next chance to go to Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk coming up in the next few minutes. It is Lunchtime Confessions. Every day, Monday through Friday at 12:20, we confess our sins to you, the Loophole. Some to do with sports, some have nothing to do with sports. But we're honest and we're transparent with you. Start it off, OG.
All righty. Hit it.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Hey, accuracy is what I'm all about here.
Except when you go to the restroom. But yeah. Go ahead.
I was on the phone. Yeah. Did I really do that?
Yes.
I peed on the floor?
Yes.
Are you sure it was me?
You were the only one who used the restroom.
There's other people using that restroom.
Nobody's used that restroom today.
Aaron's used that restroom.
He has not.
At that point, I hadn't.
And he probably thought I did because he went in after me.
Well, maybe you did. You're doing a little strategy here, a little reverse mojo or whatever. All right. My first confession. And by the way, I have the answer. I have the correct answer.
Okay.
I love Jack Buck's and Troy Aikman's discussion last night about how we've got to come up with something better than in the hunt.
Yeah.
When it comes to the playoff picture. So for those who weren't watching.
We have it.
We have it, Figgy. This is them talking about who's in the playoffs and then, quote, who's in the hunt. And keep in mind, I have the correct answer, but I'm curious on y'all's.
Doesn't matter what network we work for, that's the only phrase that anybody's ever come up for with that. In the hunt. And they're the Colts, who with a win tonight would be 5-6-1 with five games to go.
Let's see if we can't change that by next week.
Sniffing around.
Sniffing around. Put our crack creative team to work on that one.
I like sniffing around.
I kind of like sniffing around. From the
I don't think that's bad.
I kind of think it's good.
You'll like mine better. I'm not overselling it.
Okay.
The Bengals have entered the chat. The Patriots have entered the chat. You got to keep it contemporary.
No.
Yes,
that's
Figgy.
Bad.
Like the so and so and so and so are in the playoffs.
They've entered the chat.
The playoffs, but the Bengals have entered the chat.
I like in the hunt better than that.
Oh, we got to be contemporary.
Entered the chat?
What do you think, Figgy?
That's a little too millennial for me, man.
Well, that's what everybody's saying.
It's too
now.
Social media-like.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You got to be relevant with today's world. Like the Chiefs and Bills are in the playoffs right now. The Patriots and Bengals have entered the chat.
But enter the chat might be gone in a couple years, though. People ain't gonna be saying enter
saying
the chat
use it forever.
For years to come.
I'm not saying use it forever. They've entered the chat. You don't like that?
Next.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I feel like this game might be close on Sunday. I keep hearing that there's going to be a blowout, and there have been times where we've thought that the Texans were going to get blown out. Mm-hmm. I think this might be a closer game than we anticipate. And by we, I mean a lot of people just think this is going to be a bloodbath. I think this might be a closer game than we anticipate. A true one-possession game, not one of the Lovie Smith BS, were close type. Like, I think this might actually be a close game.
We could have had a shot.
Game.
You really? You were down 30 to nothing.
I think this might be a close one.
The only thing that's keeping me from co-signing that is I think
they stink?
They can just run and run and run. And yeah, that too. But they can just run and run and run on the Texans. And Deshaun Watson might just run. He might just tuck and run a lot.
Really?
Yeah. He's healthy. He's fresh.
Okay.
We'll know?
We'll see.
All right, Figgy.
Watch this.
I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win.
I think they're going to lose.
I think the USA will win. We are out at Social Beer Garden. Crowd's pretty good downstairs. We're actually okay up here, so you got room if you want to come out here.
I think Iran's going to win.
I think the USA is going to win. I think they're younger, they're speedier. And there's a lot of strife in the Iran locker room.
A lot of what?
A lot of strife in the Iran locker room.
What are they
right
mad
now.
At?
Playing time, who's on the roster, managerial decisions. It's very controversial in Iran. If you remember.
Oh, it is?
Yes. If you remember, my daughter-in-law is Iranian. I was talking to her father about this, who is from Iran. Like, he came.
So you just go up to the Iranian and just ask them their opinion
on
it.
Tell me about your squad, man. His name is Hamid. Shout out to Hamid.
It's like whenever the new Travis Scott comes out, Lopez goes up to Figgy.
You know? No, that's my daughter that does that.
Hey, Leroy, what do you think of that new Travis Scott?
Race car!
Hamid is cool. And he came over when he came over during the big
man. Leroy, did you watch Abbott Elementary yesterday?
I actually watched two episodes yesterday. Anywho, so he was giving me the rundown. He's a big soccer guy, big Iranian soccer fan. I think the USA is going to win. In fact, I told a good friend of both of ours to put a little money on.
That's the worst flex you. So he's Iranian. So I asked Iranian. So I just asked him.
He's
about
a huge
that.
Soccer fan. Like we are football. Like huge, huge in Iran. He knows.
Figgy.
He said he doesn't trust him. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Hey, Lopez.
Does he ask you about Mexican restaurants?
Yes. You do. Figgy does. Sometimes it's not a race card. Sometimes it's like, oh, you're familiar? Let me ask you. That's not a race card. The guy is from Iran. He plays soccer every Sunday still at his age with mm-hmm. some buddies. He follows this team extremely closely. He knows the players. He knows the strife.
So that's
going
your source.
On. And so I asked him, that is not a race card?
What's the line? I'm going to bet on Iran just because of that sales pitch. I got my USA. I want to bet on Iran at this point with that. I talked to my.
You're betting on Iran.
My Iranian friend.
Only you.
I talked to my Iranian friend, so I think that they're going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You want to know the odds?
Figgy, you have a question for Lopez?
Yeah, I was just about to let him know I went to Fiesta yesterday. I thought about John Lopez while I was in Fiesta.
Goodness gracious.
Moneyline, USA minus 114. I don't know why that's the number. Iran plus 310.
Plus 310?
Plus 310.
Some good money right there.
Yeah.
Put it on Iran.
Landry's betting on Iran.
Put it on Iran.
I want to see the ticket. I want to see you bet, even if it's $10. I want to see the and have it framed.
I'll confess this. Go ahead, Figgy. This is bad. I'll just do it since we're here. These are my confessions. I rooted for Spain to beat USA in basketball before.
Oh,
back when Rudy Fernandez was there, and it was the gold medal game, the Redeem Team. I'm not gonna lie, I like the way they hoop better. I thought there was an American influence, so I have rooted against USA in a sporting event. Sorry about it.
I don't think you're alone.
Sorry about it.
Didn't we have this conversation the other day? I don't know if I was rooting for them to win, but in the end, I was kind of glad that they won when Argentina had Ginobili and all those guys.
Yeah.
And beat the
Nocioni.
They played their
Luis Scola.
Yeah. They played their asses off.
And they knew how to hoop, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I did it. But Iran now, get me rich. That's scouting report, J-Lo. Next. Watch this.
These are my confessions.
I think Brad Ausmus is going to be the GM, man.
Of the Astros?
I think Brad Ausmus
is starting
to
be scared.
Did you? We got to play some of this.
I'm intrigued.
Jeff Bagwell is getting some national run right now.
I mean, Jeff Bagwell is talking about percentage. He wants to see Yordan Alvarez in left field. He's firing shots at James Click.
Yeah.
In computers. He's analytics. Saying that Brad Ausmus is going to be good. He was on the plane to go get Abreu.
Yeah. Like this. He negotiated.
Yeah. This isn't like a, hey, Jeff Bagwell's going to come up in the booth every once in a while. Jeff Bagwell is clearly involved in what the Astros got going on. Yeah. Clearly involved. Significantly.
I think it's going to be exactly what I speculated on. Not that I'm patting myself on the back. I couldn't believe that this would actually be the case, but I thought it was a possibility. I think it's happening. I think it's going to be like Brad Ausmus, air quote GM, handling a lot of the duties but not making the big decisions, and Jeff Bagwell, who Jim Crane trusts immensely, and that Bill Ferkus guy that went with Bagwell down to negotiate the Abreu trade deal.
Really, really, really interesting to see how that goes on. Let's give you a chance now to be in the front row. Texans versus Browns. It's going to be exciting. Deshaun Watson's going to be back. We already know. We're going to get you in the front row. Caller number 8 on a Texans Ticket Tuesday, 713-572-4610. Caller number 8, 713-572-4610. You're going to win a front row pair of tickets to see the Texans take on the Browns. Next chance to win during The Drive. Coming up, Jeff Bagwell. Is Jim Crane making a mistake listening to Jeff Bagwell? And would it be a mistake for the Houston Texans to not draft a quarterback this year with an eye on another one the following year? That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
You're one of the biggest Jeff Bagwell fans I know, and I think most people think favorably of Jeff Bagwell. But when you see that Jeff Bagwell is having as much of a role in things, it appears, and he has as much to say about stuff to the point where he's even getting on the plane to go get guys, how does that make you feel?
I don't mind it. I've said it before we even used him.
Because I think Spo hates it.
I think Spo hates it.
We'll talk to him tomorrow.
Every time I've talked about Jeff Bagwell, and I've always said he's either my favorite athlete I've ever covered or in the top three. He's that impressive a guy. He's that easy to talk with. He's that insightful. I think one of the stories I've told here over the years is I used to just sit there and just talk with him. I mean, not even working on a column, just like chat about baseball, and he just blows you away with everything he knows. So that's one reason I don't mind it. The other reason I don't mind it is I think he's already been pretty well involved. We found that out after James Click got forced out. Like Bagwell was really being leaned upon heavily by Jim Crane and others, as was Reggie Jackson. Well, it worked. You know, some of the moves they made, some of the advice that he gave clearly worked. Now,
but that's a lot different than what we're seeing right now. It's one thing to advise somebody, but when he's this active, like, do you not? I'm intrigued by it. Maybe because I live in a fantasy world where I just don't think the Astros can do any wrong, and they really haven't done wrong. You know, going back to the end of the lunar, really the middle of it. So maybe I live in a fantasy world, but there are some baseball geeks and some baseball nerds.
People are going nuts.
And Spillane is one of them, and he'll join us tomorrow, that are like really, really troubled, bothered, offended, concerned that Jeff Bagwell appears to have as much of a role with this organization as he does.
I understand the concern. I understand the questions. I think they're valid. But I'm not troubled by it. I'm not offended by it. Because I know this guy and how knowledgeable he is, and I'm sure he put in the work on himself and on this job in recent years. And I also know that I trust Jim Crane.
What do you mean put in the work? Like, what did he do? Like, what do you think
I think Jeff Bagwell will tell you. I'm not going to get into too many details that he's been led astray, let's put it that way, just on a personal level here and there, and he's not that guy anymore. And I think he's committed to baseball. He truly loves this game. He loves getting into the nitty-gritty of this game. I want that guy on my side, you know?
Yeah, I
want that guy on my side.
I do, too. Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, when you start talking about, you know, baseball – personnel and all that, I think they'll still have the scouts. Sometimes you can probably go into I just hope that he has a balance. I hope
he's not a full general manager.
I hope he's not a full old school it needs to be this way guy, and that there is some sort of balance, because I think the argument was that James Click had gone too nerdy and
we have the audio and I think this is what's sending people off over the edge. Yeah, he's talking about exactly that.
Yeah, taking shots at Click and all that type of stuff.
I think analytics is overblown, and this is a game of, you know, people.
What would we say if the Texans did something like this? Because isn't this kind of like the McCown train? I mean, I guess he's not a head coach and he's not a GM, but
he's an advisor.
He's a very, very trusted public advisor.
Yes.
This isn't like a mystery advisor.
He's an advisor. I don't think he's going to be the general manager. I wouldn't be surprised if Brad Ausmus becomes the general manager.
How is that?
I'll tell you the difference.
How is that any less ridiculous than Josh McCown potentially being head coach?
Because he's been a manager in this game. He's dealt with contracts and general managers and personnel decisions. He's been in the room for drafts. He's been in the room for trade discussions. Brad Ausmus, I think it's a world of difference from Josh McCown.
To go from being a manager to a GM?
Yes.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, because I would make a case that being a backup quarterback for 20 years or whatever, I would say that's and
but he's never
being
been a
called
manager
upon to be an extra coach. But that I think that's like just as valuable of experience as like being a head coach.
It's valuable experience, but you're not making the calls.
But the manager and GM is way different.
No, they're different. They're absolutely different. But you ask me what the difference is. I'm saying he's got a resume to take the next step.
To be a GM.
I don't think he's going to be like a full-on GM. I think he's going to have the role. And that, I'm sorry, I think it's pro personnel, whatever it is, Bill Ferkus. They're keeping him around. He's the guy that's doing a lot of the scouting and all that other stuff. I think it's going to basically, I think it's going to be like a committee, you know, with Brad Ausmus as the face of it.
See, I like Jim Crane. I like the type of stuff that he does. And I was not a James Click fan. So I can get down with this. It's just, it is pretty interesting if all of a sudden we're just going to be bringing in like former Astros to be like the faces of, you know, what is done and what isn't done.
It's certainly not like, it's not the norm. But I think this hasn't been the norm with James Click even. I think he was more figurehead.
Oh, for sure. He
right?
was a house sitter.
Yeah, it hasn't been the norm.
Yeah, I think he was a house sitter, but now we got Bagwell. Mm-hmm. He's going to be out there. So what is this, like, what does this mean? What is Bagwell going to do? Do we make too much of it too? Like, I mean, they went and signed, who wouldn't go sign Abreu? Like, that's the other thing. Like, who wouldn't do that? Like, who would be opposed to that? In this situation
exactly.
with where they're at, with Michael Brantley coming off the books and stuff, like who wouldn't be opposed to that?
No, I totally agree.
So I don't have like an issue with that. I just do. I do think it's interesting. It's not that Jeff Bagwell's advising. Okay, it's not like it's not that. So I don't want to that he's talking as much as he is and saying as much.
Well, there's nobody else right now.
I know, yeah. But Jim Crane's there.
He's
Jim
not
Crane
talk
can
a
speak.
Lot.
Well, he was up there at the podium talking.
Yeah, but he's not going to talk a lot. He just traditionally has not.
But Jeff Bagwell's like firing shots at James Click.
He was doing that, talking about analytics, like downplaying analytics. I bet you Adam Spillane is having an aneurysm right now. With all
oh, he's
stuff.
Stressed out. He's really upset by this.
All this stuff.
He's going to start.
And it's not as if Bagwell does it, even when
what
he was.
What is Spillane going to say tomorrow?
Oh, it's an abomination.
If you look at the analytics department and you look at everything that's gone on here, James Click had a lot to do with that. It's not easy to do baseball operations.
Why are you
it's
doing not, Adam Spillane like that?
What do you mean? Is that
you're
not
you're pinching
accurate?
Your nose and making a whiny sound.
No, I'm just being spoiled. It's not hard. I worked in minor league baseball. I know. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that you'll never see that Jeff Bagwell is going to want no part of.
I actually
that's where you
with
set
that.
Yourself back up 5 years, 10 years.
That's exactly what he's going to say. He may be texting that to us right now.
You know what the average whip was before
oh,
James Click got
God.
Here?
Oh, God. I don't want to know about
you know
the
what their whip,
whip
is now at single A?
And they keep coming up with new stats, too. I saw a new baseball stat yesterday.
What's the worst baseball stat?
Which one do you think it is?
Dude, it's not even close. They will never come up with something dumber than this.
I think we're on the same page.
Expected catch rates?
Yes,
you, expected that, catch rates. How do you do that? And yeah. Not only do they do it 4 seconds after the play.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like expected catch rate. How the hell do you know that?
Yeah.
Like the wind, where he's playing, all this type of stuff, that's made up. It's just like that tennis stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me started on that tennis stuff.
What tennis stuff?
Where they have like the graphic of where the ball landed. They're making that
oh,
up.
Oh, that's I believe.
Nah.
Yeah, no, I
They're
believe
that.
That
up too.
They can run wires and, you know,
expected
cameras.
Catch rate or yeah. expected hit rate.
Yeah,
99% of the time, that's a hit.
Okay, well, it wasn't. So they definitely bucked the odds there.
And now pitchers have started, like, if it's like not hit over 100 miles off the bat, it's like mm-hmm. it wasn't really a bad pitch or anything like that. Drives me nuts. And you know the one thing I will say?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm kind of finding my way towards Bagwell. He hates that crap, too.
But again, I don't think
I guarantee if you ask
no,
Jeff Bagwell about expected catch rate,
no,
he
said
hates
it.
That crap too, and
no,
he should.
He absolutely did, and so I think, but he's not going to totally ditch it. I don't think he's going to totally like say
no.
We
they're
going
to have someone to do it.
Yes.
No. Like, what is Bagwell going to be doing now? Is he going to be like on the podium?
He's
when
the big advisor.
If they
man.
Win a World Series, is Jeff Bagwell going to be up there raising
yes.
his fist?
I mean, he was in the parade this year.
So did he get a ring this
yeah.
year?
Yeah, he's an advisor.
So did he get one in 2017? He won an advisor?
Now, that I don't know. I don't know if he did or not.
Are they going to be a little bit more lenient with the rings this year?
For fans? The replicas?
For everybody.
No, I think it's going to be just like last time.
Ted Johnson even thought it was out of control when he was here.
Yeah.
That was one of my takes on Mad Radio. I said they're giving away too many championship rings to too many people.
Yeah.
And Ted Johnson was like, I agree with you 100%, bro.
Yeah. Figgy, if you got Tyler's email, Bagwell 1 is him on analytics. And it's pretty – this is the one that I think is getting –
this is going to get Spillane all hot and bothered.
It's going to get Spillane all hot and bothered. So that listen to this.
Boy, Spillane is losing.
Figgy, I don't know if you have it yet or not, but Bagwell won.
Personally, for me, yes. I just think that there are certain things that go on that the numbers can't explain. Because this game is played by humans, man. It's not played by computers. And there's a lot of things that go on. You know, stuff that's in those doors over there or on the field. There's stuff that goes on in at home. A lot of things that can happen throughout a year that mean something. And, you know, it affects players in certain ways. And being able to know that and being able to, that's what Dusty does so great is he knows his players so well on and off the field, which makes it a lot easier for him to manage because he has the communication with the guys and understand.
Right.
It's played by humans, man. I get what he's saying, but
it kind of sounds like he's kind of feeling it.
It's 100%.
That's probably like that. Bagwell's feeling it right now.
Yeah, 100%.
You think Bagwell went and bought some new suits this weekend
for the introductory press conference?
I just feel like we might see a little bit more Jeff Bagwell in a suit.
Not he called Jim Crane the best owner in baseball, which okay,
I agree.
I'm good with that.
I agree.
And then of course one more for you. Bagwell 6, Figgy. He was asked if his role has changed.
Oh, Lord.
With the Astros.
He better say yes.
Well, let's hear.
I bother Jim nonstop, so I think he's tired of me. But I'm just a voice of how I see baseball and how I see the other things in baseball that just aren't numbers. Numbers are important, don't get me wrong. But there's other things that matter, and that's part of the reason why Jose is a perfect fit.
All right. I mean, come on. Anyone was going to sign Jose. Like, that's not.
Yeah, but it's not just the numbers.
Was James Clayton going to push back to Jose Abreu?
Who knows? I mean, at this point, I mean, they were really down on James Clayton. That much is obvious. But Bagwell making some news, man. Big time. I'm loving it.
What's all James Clayton up to?
He's probably going to be a scout somewhere, right? The director of scouting?
I don't know. Spillane made it seem like he was going to have 25 job offers after they fired him. He's going to be a general manager is what Spo said. Let's give you a chance, your next chance. There's two more remaining. Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk, one of the best things we do. We want you to be there.
The holiday season is here, and another Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk with Jean Pendergast holiday special is coming next Tuesday. Be caller number 5 right now, and you and a guest will be joining us at this exclusive event. Call now, 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5 to 713-572-4610, and you're on your way to the Yellow Rose Distillery for our special holiday whiskey talk next Tuesday night.
All right, there you go. Next chance to win coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Also coming up in the next segment, we're going to give you some tickets to the Texas Bowl, a four-piece. SEC versus Big 12. There's talk it might be Oklahoma coming to town versus Arkansas.
Or Mississippi State.
Got a little Oklahoma, maybe Oklahoma versus Arkansas, mm-hmm. Oklahoma versus Mississippi State.
That'd be good.
Could have some of that. You think they'll give us the Britt Venables interview?
I hope so.
I've had some pretty good things to say about them.
Have you? Oh my,
Brent, why are you such a meathead? What is toughness to you?
You're really a meathead, Brent. Thoughts?
Yeah, you're kind of a meathead. do you still think the culture is heading in the right direction? We'll get you a chance to go to the Texas Bowl coming up. Hope to see you at the Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk. But coming up, I've only won once, but I feel two coming on.
Uh-oh.
It is the headline showdown coming up here on In the Loop.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.